I'd like you to go to Psalm 106. This month we've been... Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
If you could turn my mic.
So we want everybody to have a great Thanksgiving. And we've been preparing you all month about having a thankful heart. You know, really, it's the key to giving and receiving. You know what kind of giver God likes? Cheerful giver. You know, when you say that, you should put a smile on your face. God loves a cheerful giver. Well, someone who is cheerful is certainly thankful. Amen? So thankfulness will enhance your giving. It'll make giving more enjoyable. Now, sometimes we like to give, but thankfulness just, it just fills our Thanksgiving basket. And thankfulness is also the key to receiving. Amen? When someone does something for you, a simple thank you, however it's expressed, whether it's audible or written, you know, it means a lot, doesn't it? Doesn't that minister to a giver? When you give someone something and they say thank you, you know, they just express their appreciation. Well, you know, God is the greatest giver of all. And he tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 to be thankful in everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
He said, for this is the will of God for you. So say, I'm a thankful person.
I'm a thankful person.
I have a thankful heart.
I have a thankful heart.
Thankfulness flows out of me. Amen. Well, we're going to look at a story today. We'll get there soon. But first, we got to make a few pit stops. Amen?
Yes.
Psalm 106 and verse 1. You know, we serve a good God.
Yes.
Notice what it says in Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. You know, did you know that God is good? God is not bad. He never does bad things. He never uses harmful things to teach his children. He teaches his children through the Holy Spirit and the Word. Amen? His Word is so powerful that all he has to do is speak, and he actually expects us to believe what he says. Are you, let me put it to you this way. You are smarter than a tree. Well, when God's word spoke, trees grew. When God's word, you're smarter than stars. When God's word spoke, stars appeared. You're smarter than light. When God said, "Light, let light be," light was. Light responded. What am I saying? When God speaks, you're smarter than all those things. So if they can respond to God speaks, imagine what you can do.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. But we can be thankful to God because God is good.
Yes.
Say, my God is good.
My God is good.
Hallelujah. And you know what? It is so good to have Miss Lorraine here. Hallelujah. Yes. Welcome back, Miss Lorraine. I'll tell you, Lorraine is a strong, overcoming woman.
Yes.
Amen. Good to have you back, Miss Lorraine. Hallelujah. And Miss Marilyn, too, good to have you back. Yes, hallelujah. We got to sing with Miss Marilyn while she was getting to perm. Praise God, we had a singing beauty shop. It was wonderful. Now, that would have happened if I didn't have Fiona with me, so I'm so glad of that. But yeah, we went to visit Miss Marilyn. We had a singing beauty shop. It was fun. Praise God. But you know, God is good. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. If something bad happens in your life, you can know for certain it was not God. God is not associated with bad things. He's associated with good things. Yeah, well, what about God's judgment? That's because judgment comes to people who refuse to obey. It's not God's fault that judgment comes. It's the rebellious people They refuse to change, refuse to obey. And because God is just, he has to execute judgment. And really, judgment is to make things good. Amen. If you respond to God's judgment, you won't experience his punishment. Amen. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Amen. Aren't you glad that we can walk in Christ after receiving him? How's your life for God? Are you holy? Do you let corrupt communication come out of your mouth? Do you walk in? Oh, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm messing with you. Amen. Didn't he say if, after we receive Christ Jesus, we're supposed to live in a certain way? We're supposed to walk in him, amen? God did not save people so that they could sit and do nothing for the rest of their lives. When you get saved, you become an active participant in God's family and on God's team. Amen. Boy, I'm having a good time today. Look at verse 7. This is how we walk in him. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Woo! God is so good to me that I am chalked stuff with thanksgiving. And everywhere I turn, thanksgiving comes out. Because God is so good. Is that the Bible telling us to abound with thanksgiving? You know, if we would spend more time thanking God, we'd spend less time being depressed. Oh, now you're messing with me again, Pastor. I know. Today's a messing with you day. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Did you know that thanksgiving gives you access? Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Did you know that thanksgiving is God's doorbell? If you want to enter someone's house, you either ring the doorbell or you knock, right? And then they open the door. Well, the Bible says, enter his courts or his gates with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. You know, when you're thankful to God, the gate opens. You know, you pull up to God's house, you know, the White House. The White House is guarded, isn't it? You know, it's got people with, it's got snipers on the roof, people with gold pins on their lapel here, and it's guarded. And if you want to get into the White House, you have to have access, right? You have to have an invitation, your name has to be on the list, whatever. But the only access that God requires is thanksgiving. You're talking about you can have access to the King of Kings, to his glory, to his presence, to his goodness, to his grace, and all you have to do is come with thanksgiving, and his gates open to you. Amen? Amen. And if you want to get closer, the more thankful you are, the more you become, the more you get into praise. See, praise starts with thanksgiving, but then it proceeds further. Then you can enter his courts with praise. Do you notice how, you know, thanksgiving, praise, and then worship, you keep drawing closer to him. You keep progressing to him. Amen? Well, God is good. And he deserves our thankfulness. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Well, I'll tell you what, these people in the Old Testament got a hold of thanksgiving. Amen? Listen, I'm not going to let an Old Testament person outdo me. They didn't have the Spirit on the inside. We do. Amen? Amen? Yes. You know, God is so into praise that he'll even receive praise from rocks if people aren't praising. I made up my mind a long time ago that I'm not going to let a rock outdo me.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 4. This is when they brought the ark back, which represented the presence of God. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord, God of Israel.
Hallelujah.
Say, I've been appointed. To thank God and to praise God. Well, I'm not a priest. Yes, you are. God made you a kingdom, a king, kings and priests. And you can minister before the Lord. You know, I like that. They appointed people just for thanksgiving and praise. It's like Jehoshaphat, when he wanted to win the battle, God told him, he said, send the praisers out before the warriors. Because, you know, praise creates a different atmosphere than warfare. See, praise is a spiritual weapon. And we have to praise God. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
And go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And look at verse 11. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers of all of them, of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals, psalteries, and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Can you imagine the noise that was taking place? 120 people with cymbals and trumpets and singers. Listen, I'll tell you what, God knows how to, he's got a rocking band in heaven. I'm telling you. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one. Oh, there's power in unity. When the singers are singing, we need to join with them. When they became as one to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercy endures forever, that the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Boy, I tell you what, I long for the day when the singers and the instruments are as one and we're unified together praising and thanking God. And in that midst, God inhabits the praises of his people. He said, I'm just going to come and join you singing. And God came into the place and the cloud filled the place and there were the priests. The priests couldn't even move. They were laid out. Hey, it's okay if God wants to lay me out. That's just spiritual anesthesiology. Sometimes we get in the way when God wants to move. With our traditions. With our mindsets. Oh God, you can't move this way. Who are we to tell God how he can move? Or where he can move? Or when he can move? He created the universe. He is the Almighty. There is no one like him. There is no one greater than him. He is God alone. He's the Ancient of Days. You know, every time we gather, I expect God to move. Well, I'll tell you what, we had a great men's meeting yesterday. All of you men that weren't able to show up, oh, you missed it. I'm just kidding. Come on. It's okay. I told the men how to be a can-do man. Amen? Amen. See, you got it. Hot dog, you got it. Hallelujah. See, what I'm saying is, you don't need any other reason to be thankful other than God is good. What about when bad things happen to me? God is still good. Who do you think was there helping you through that bad time? Who do you think was there comforting you during that bad time? Who do you think was there trying to correct your bad self in the bad time? Because how many know when we go through bad times, bad attitudes come with it sometimes? How do you know you weren't the cause of that bad time? Oh, I didn't think about that. You know, sometimes we are the cause of our messes. Our sins that we choose to participate in. You know, sin separates you from God. But God has provided a way that when we're separated from Him, we can come back to Him. Amen? So I want you to see that God is good. Now I want you to go to John chapter 9. And we're going to spend our time camping here today. This is a beautiful place, John chapter 9. And there's a story here. In verse 1, it says, as Jesus passed by, did you know that God's word is moving in the earth? God's word is passing people by. And those who have faith in Him can reach out and grab what the word is saying and doing, and it can happen in your life.
Hallelujah.
Amen? God has given us the measure of faith. And you can increase that measure or you can decrease that measure. But as Jesus was passing by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. Okay? This man was born blind. Do you realize we've all been born blind spiritually? Every one of us were born into a world that sin entered into. And we were all born as sinners, but through Jesus Christ, we're no longer a sinner. The Bible never teaches that we are an old sinner saved by grace, because He actually removes the sin nature. He gives us His divine nature. We are partakers of the divine nature. Amen? So here was this blind man. He was blind from birth, okay? And the disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And you know, sometimes we have this mindset that people with afflictions, we think that they did something wrong to make that affliction happen. Okay? We think that, oh, they must be bad. You know, remember when the Apostle Paul was on the island of Malta and he was gathering some sticks for a fire and the viper bit him? And they said, oh, this guy must be a really bad guy. Look at God's judging him. But he shook that snake off and didn't even suffer any harmful effects. But the mindset of the people were like, oh, he must be a really bad guy. Well, what did Jesus say? How did Jesus address this? Were these people so bad that God made them blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. Now, He didn't say that they weren't born into a world of sin. Listen, sin has affected this world. You know what sin brought with it? It brought death. It brought sickness. It brought destruction. In this world, there is sin, and everyone has suffered in some way the effects of sin. We all had suffered some way with the effects of sin. But thank God for Jesus. He is the cure for sin. So Jesus said it wasn't this man who sinned that caused his blindness. It wasn't his parents who sinned that caused his blindness. But why? But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Jesus came to save the lost. He came to seek and save sinners. Sin came, yes, sin occurred, but Jesus is the answer. He came to cure people from sin. He came to do a work in them. He came to redeem them. He came to heal them. He came to give them life. Yes. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus is saying. So if you're suffering, you're a candidate for the works of God. I want you to tell you that God is still working. Amen. God hasn't punched out. God hasn't clocked out. God hasn't taken a vacation day. God hasn't taken a sabbatical. God is still working. His word still works today. There's still power in the word. It's working, and it can work in us. Do you believe it? Say, I believe that God's word works. Now, if you believe that, you ought to make sure that your words line up with that statement. You can't say, I believe God's word works, and you can't say over here, why isn't this working? Well, didn't you just say you believe it works? Why are you saying it doesn't work? You're mixed up. You're like a can of mixed nuts. Make up your mind. You're going to believe God or not? Make up your mind. You can't have it both ways. You can't walk a picket fence. Because eventually you're going to fall on one side or the other. So, Jesus said, look at verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night comes when no man can work. And the night refers to death. How many know that you can't work after you die? Amen? You know, we have one life. You better make it count. You know, it is so sad for people to live their whole life and never do the will of God. Never do what God wanted them to do. They give God all kinds of excuses as to why they can't do what he wants them to do. And then when you live your life, when it's the end, live your life for God. Make up your mind to do what God wants you to do. You know what? It's not hard to find out what God's will is for your life. God will show you if you're really sincere about seeking him. Get out your spiritual shovels and picks and start digging, and you'll find it. Those who seek him shall what? Find him. If you really want to know what God's will for your life is, he'll show you. But then the question is, are you willing to do it? You know, Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. What if you're only one? Looks like your plate's going to be bare. You're not going to be eating so good. You can't just be one or the other. You got to be willing and obedient. You got to be both. So don't let the night come and you haven't done the will of God. The will of God starts right now. It doesn't start tomorrow. Don't put the will of God off until next week. Oh yeah, God, I'll schedule you your will next Friday. No, right now, today, in this moment, it starts with a decision in your heart that you're going to do what God wants you to do no matter what. That you'll go where God wants you to go no matter what. That you'll be what God wants you to be no matter what. Amen? I guarantee you that God will bless that. God will multiply. God, you will please God doing that. You're looking at a man who did that. Amen? God called me out of my comfort zone. He brought this shy Polish Illinoisan. Into what he wanted me to do. And I had to make some steps. I had to make some choices. I had to make some sacrifices. Everywhere God wanted me to go, I had to say goodbye to friends. And I'm a very loyal person. But you know what? The blessings far outweigh the costs. Amen? Woo, God is good. In my life, in 44 years, I have never worked a job as long as this one. I've been at this for 11 years, and it feels like just the first week. Amen? Why? I love what I do. Because I know that God called me to do what I'm doing right now. So, go with me to Matthew 11, and let's investigate what are the works of Jesus. Okay, Jesus, yeah, you've got works, but what job do you do? Look at John 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed there to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. You got to understand, John spoke against the king, Herod. He said, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Boy, if we had some people to confront sin today. And as a result, Herod's wife's daughter danced for him, and he said, I'll give you up half the kingdom. And her mother said, ask for John's head on a platter. So John was in prison waiting to be beheaded. And he was hearing about the works of Christ. Maybe in prison, John began to doubt a little bit. Maybe he had some questions. After all, he's in a prison getting ready to be beheaded because he was doing the will of God. Would you be willing to go to prison if it was God's will? Would you be willing to be beheaded if it was God's will? You mean God wants me to be beheaded? He certainly doesn't want you to compromise. What happens if you're a believer and you get beheaded? You get a new one in glory. It's like you lost nothing and you've gained something so much better. If you get beheaded as a believer, you go from this unglorified body to a glorified body with your head intact. So you've lost nothing. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent to his disciples and said to him, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? John began to doubt whether or not Jesus was the Christ. You mean all that work of baptizing people, all that work of preaching repentance, was it for the right one? Are you the Christ? He began to doubt. And Jesus answered and said unto them, notice, John, what did John hear? He heard the what? The works. Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. God's works are always to be heard and seen. God is not afraid of people hearing his works or seeing his works. God doesn't do miracles in secret. Amen? Now, oftentimes when Jesus walked the earth, he told people not to tell anybody because he had to be somewhere. He didn't want crowds of people coming. But I mean, people told on him anyway. Amen? Why? Because God is so good. Listen, God is so good, you cannot keep it to yourself. If you can keep it to yourself, you don't understand how good God is yet. You cannot keep it to yourself because God is so good. What are you supposed to go tell John to this question? The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended at me. You got to watch being offended. So the works of Jesus are the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the mute speaking, the sick healed, the lost found, they're saved. That is the works of God. Each one of us are in God's employment. Whose hands did he tell to lay hands on the sick? The hands of the apostles? The hands of the prophets? Whose hands? Believers. Any believers in the house today? God told you as a believer to lay hands on the sick. And what did he say? The sick shall recover. God has equipped every believer with healing power. Now that power comes in the name of Jesus through the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's nothing of ourselves, but God uses you as a vessel. You're a conduit. You're a conductor. You're a copper wire in God's power company. Amen? So we should never be offended at the works of Jesus. We should never, when someone gets healed, we should never go around saying, well, how come that didn't happen to me? You ought to rejoice with that person. Amen?
Amen.
God did something good. You ought to rejoice with them.
Yes.
The more you rejoice for them, the more he's likely to do it to you. The less you rejoice for them, the less likely it will occur for you. Amen? So the works of God. Go to Matthew. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. I was contemplating whether or not I wanted to go there, and then I made up my mind to go there. Matthew 13, verse 54. When he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. What happened when Jesus taught? What was occurring? Faith was going forth, right? Because Jesus is the Word. Every time he taught, guess what? The Word was being taught. Amen? Just like today, you're here and you're hearing the Word taught. And there's power in that Word, okay? Because it's God's Word. He taught them in their synagogue insomuch that they were astonished and said, where has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where has this man all these things? And they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So our belief has to do with the works of God occurring. Our faith has a part in participating with the works of God. If everyone here did not believe the word, God couldn't do many things. So, how quickly can you believe God? How long will it take you to be convinced that what God said is true? That what God said he's able to do? Amen? See, now these works, they point to Jesus as the Messiah. They are a witness. Jesus said, the works that I do, they witness as to who I am and who sent me. When people get healed, when people get saved, when people get delivered, that is a testimony to that God has sent him in the name of Jesus. That is a testimony that God is at work. God is working today. He's working in all who will receive his work by faith. Okay? And he wants you to believe his works, all right? Let's go to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. See, I always have more than enough scriptures. If you've noticed, I've never lacked scriptures, amen? Why? Because I love the word. I fell in love with this word long time ago, and I haven't gotten over it since, and I don't plan to. Amen? I love the Word of God. It changed my life. So Luke 19, and let's go to verse 37. This is when he came on, he was riding on the donkey, and people were excited. And when he was come near, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for what? For all the mighty works which they had seen. Now that was an opportunity to say amen. All the disciples, when Jesus was coming, began to praise him for the works that they have seen. Amen. Do we got any people here that are excited about Jesus for what they've seen just for today? Yes. Come on. Let's show praise. Let's show some praise to God. Let's get excited like these people were. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to be excited when God is working. God's work is exciting. It's life-giving. It's life-changing. It's awesome. No one else in the world can do what Jesus can do for you. So they got excited about Jesus. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And let's look at verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Guess what? If you're a believer in Christ, you will be persecuted. Jesus said that. So that must be true. Amen? And if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. By this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that was written in the law, that he hated me without a cause. Jesus performed a lot of works in front of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious leaders of Judaism. And many of them didn't believe, and even the ones that did believe were afraid to act on their belief because they were going to get kicked out of the synagogue. And so because they saw these works, they have no excuse. It's like the Israelites who saw the miracles coming out of Egypt. They saw how God brought the plagues to the Egyptians, but not on them. They saw how God delivered them. They saw how God brought them through the Red Sea. But yet, how many of them really believed? You know, when you see God working, you have a choice to believe or not to believe. That's the question. Amen? So when you see God working, you've got to guard against offense. You've got to gear your heart. How can you participate in the work that God is doing in this moment? You know, the Holy Spirit, he moves, and he moves like a river. And like a river, not every spot in the river is the same. Some places are shallow, some are deep, right? Some are straight and fast, others are slow. Some are winding. Sometimes there's a waterfall. Sometimes there's just a little trickle. But see, the Holy Spirit moves like a river. See, you just have to get in the river and let the river flow how it wants to flow. Let the river go where it wants to go. You know, some people might think, well, how come certain people get picked out? It's like sometimes I'm drawn to them. you know, I really don't have an explanation. It's just I feel like something's tugging me towards them. And then it's just that God wants to do something in them because they're ready, they're willing, they're, you know. And sometimes people can resist what God is doing. You might have heard it described as putting the brakes on. How many ever drove in a driver's ed car? Did you know that there's a brake on the passenger side? And when you're not driving correctly, the teacher can hit the brakes because he knows the rules. We're just learning the rules. And sometimes, you know, the listeners of a sermon have just as much part as the preacher. The preacher can miss God. The people can miss God. And in both cases, it will put the brakes on what God wants to do. So we've got to be open. And we've got to be ready to move when God wants to move. And it starts with our heart. And you know, if you have a bad heart already, not physically, but spiritually. And a bad heart will make it harder to yield to God. Someone who can't yield to God is described as the Bible as being stiff-necked. They're unwilling to yield to God. Go ahead, God. Try to move me. You know what God will do? God will move right around you. Because God moves in the realm of faith. I'll give you an example. Jairus came to Jesus. He said, come and lay your hands on my daughter and she shall live. Jesus said, okay. So Jesus and Jairus were walking to Jairus' house, right? Well, along the way, they were interrupted, weren't they? What interrupted Jesus? It was faith of this woman. Her faith caused her to make her way through the crowd. She'd been dealing with this thing for 12 years. How many of you have been dealing with some things for years that hasn't changed? Grab a hold of the word when it passes by. So here were Jairus and Jesus. You know, they're walking to Jairus' house because it was urgent. His daughter was near death. But you know, God always has time for faith. Faith is never an interruption in God's plan. Faith is a part of God's plan. So this woman, she reached out, touched the hem of his garment. Virtue went into her. Everything stopped. They stopped moving. They stopped going to Jairus' house. It seemed like the plan was interrupted. But so this woman got healed, and Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Yeah, amen. Well, what about Jairus' daughter? Listen, Jairus came in faith. So Jesus and Jairus started walking again to his house, but then a servant came out and said, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. And Jairus could have said, if we hadn't stopped to help that woman, we'd have got to my daughter on time. Time is not a factor when you're in faith. Faith is eternal. Jesus looked at Jairus and he said, don't fear, only believe. Jairus said, okay, let's go. So they continued on, and guess what? Jesus went into his daughter's room. He touched her just like Jairus said. And what happened? She was raised to life. So my point in saying all that is you got to be willing to move when God moves. And you got to be willing to change directions when God changes directions. Sometimes he makes a sharp turn. And you got to be able to move with him. You know, God has to be your dance partner. And the question is, you got to let God lead. Or you can do the polka. One, two, three, one, two. I grew up doing the polka, you know. Every wedding I went to as a kid, they had polkas. Are you willing to move with God today?
Yes.
See, God might even interrupt our worship time like he did this morning. You got to just be willing to go with the flow.
Yes.
And you don't always have to understand everything. You know, I'm an analytical person. I take my time making major decisions. I'm like my father. When he wanted to buy a new car, he'd wait about 8 or 9 months before he finally made up his mind to buy a new car. He'd look at all the stats and all the specs and all the, he'd look at all the details. And my mom would be saying, why don't you just buy the car? Well, my father is an analytical person. He likes to take his time making decisions. And for an analytical person, sometimes this faith stuff can be confusing. Well, I don't understand. Why does he do that? Why did he do that? I can't figure that out. You don't have to figure it out. You just have to go with it.
Yeah,
amen. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
See, I'm just going to go with it.
Go with it.
So when God moves, you just go with it. Jesus told this blind man, he said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And I want to let you know, light trumps darkness.
Yes, every time.
This man was born, this man never knew what light was. This man never got to see light. What he was born with wasn't working. That's what sin does. Sin will destroy us. Sin stops things from working right. And that's why you got to bring them to Jesus, because he can fix it. When things aren't working right, bring it to Jesus. When your body's not working right, bring it to Jesus. He can fix it.
Amen.
Notice what he did. When he had spoken, that's important. Faith comes by hearing. That man had to receive faith from Jesus' words. He heard Jesus say that he was the light of the world. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me. The blind man heard these things. He spat on the ground. Now, this would be an article in the AMA magazine, American Medical Association, right? Man spits in ground and heals eye with clay. Good thing that this blind man could never see, because he didn't know what Jesus was doing. Jesus didn't say, I'm about to spit on the ground and put it in your eyes. Some things God doesn't say, he just does. And then you don't that's why you don't have to worry about how it's done. You just get to reap the benefits of it. He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. I can just imagine the people. He's about to do what? My goodness, do you see what he's doing? How was man made in the first place? Jesus was just using the materials that man was made of in the first place. If I wanted to replace this wall, I would use drywall that it's made out of. I would replace it with the same substance. Jesus was just using the same substance that man was made out of. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpreted sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed, and what? Came seeing. So he obviously, he had enough faith to do what Jesus said do. He didn't know that Jesus just spit in his eye. He just heard Jesus say, go and wash. He felt some clay on his... He didn't know that he didn't use water for that clay. But what a simple instruction. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Oh, man, that's just too easy. I can't believe that God would be so easy. Listen, God is simple. We make him complex. We take God's word and we confuse it. We complicate it. So this man goes, but he comes back seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which they saw him, they said, that he was blind. They said, is not he that sat and begged? And the other said, he's like him, but he said, I am he. And they said unto him, how were your eyes opened? They had never seen anything like this before. They had never heard anything like this before. They didn't know that God was working. Jesus was on the time clock. And he said, this is what I came to do. He says, I specialize in making the impossible possible. Jesus specializes. If something's not working right in your body, he can make it again. Why? He's a creator. And he answered, he said, a man that is called Jesus. You know, there's a lot of statement in the name Jesus. It means Savior. It means Redeemer. He said, a man named Jesus. He knew his name. Made clay and anointed my eyes. Notice he didn't say out of spit. That was kind of unknown to him. Some things are better left unsaid. Amen? He didn't go around and say, Jesus, spit in my eye. And go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received. Notice, he received his sight. He received it. They said unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought him to the Pharisees that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day. Oh my goodness, now we got a problem. There is no healing on the Sabbath, says the Pharisee. Does it make a difference what day it is? Like, do the Pharisees have healing lines on Monday or Tuesday? No, come back with your blindness on Monday and I'll pencil you in. Can't do it today, it's the Sabbath day. That's what religion says. Religion could care less about the person. They could care less about the miracle that just occurred. Oh, but you can't do it this way. It can't be done this way. Because our law says. Well, your law is wrong. Then again the Pharisees, verse 15, asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay on my eyes and washed, and I do see. Three times now he's had to testify to this. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath. Hello, he just opened blind eyes. Which is greater, keeping the Sabbath or opening blind eyes? How can this man, that is a sinner, do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say of him, that he has opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. Notice, they didn't believe. Thank God that this man believed. Sometimes when you believe, you might be in the minority. But you've got to hold what you believe precious, as long as you're believing in the truth. But once you discover that you're believing a lie, let it go as quickly as can, like a hot potato. Let that thing go. Some people believe songs more than the Word of God. Oh yeah, it's just like the song said. Really, what authority does the song have? Is that song rooted in the Word? Or does it just make you feel good? If you notice, sometimes we change words of songs because they're not scriptural. A song can be in any style. As long as it's based in the Word of God, it's good. It could be opera, but it's whoa! But if it's in the Word of God, it's good. I don't know where that came from. Woo! It's this fire flag. It's causing all kinds of interference up here. My goodness. So then they got his parents. They said, was this your son? Was he born blind? Well, how does he see? They said, well, this is our son, and he was born blind, but how he sees, we don't know. And they kept berating him. They kept bringing it up. They called, verse 24, they called again. They again called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Now this guy, this is his first exposure of Jesus. He's like a baby Christian. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner, I don't know. I don't know anything about theology. I know not. One thing I know is I was blind, but now I see. The goodness that God's works do outweigh anything else. I don't care how I got to this point. Jesus touched me and I can see, praise God. They said, tell us again how he opened your eyes. He answered, I've told you already. You did not hear. You know, if you keep telling someone something and they don't listen, that's a clue. Stop telling them. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? They reviled him. Like a cat. I don't know why I'm so animated today. My wife is rubbing off on me. And verse 29, they pulled the Moses card. We know that God spoke unto Moses, for this fellow we know not from where he is. This man answered and said unto them, why, here is a marvelous thing that you know not from where he is, and yet he has opened my eyes. Do you know, when you share your testimony with someone, all you got to do is tell them what God did. That's it. This is what God did. I was ugly, but look at me now. God made me handsome. It's a miracle. Just focus on what God did. Oh, praise God. Help me get through this, Lord. And then he says, they said, now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, he does his will. Him he hears. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born? They never heard of this before. I guess they never read the thing about Exodus where they walked through the Red Sea. You know, Jesus, and then what happened? They cast him out. They cast the man who got healed out of the synagogue. Praise God, I've been delivered from religion. I've been delivered from man's way of doing things. Woo, now I'm free. I could never be like this in the church I grew up in. But I'm free. You know what? Some things are good to be cast out of. Notice what Jesus heard that they had cast him out. He probably said, don't worry, they cast me out too. I understand your plight. They don't want me there either. I've been trying to get in, but they locked the door on me. I can see just Jesus putting his arm around this guy and saying, let's go have lunch, man. I feel your pain, brother. When he had found him, you know, Jesus is a master finder. You thought you found him. No, he found you. You were helpless in miry clay. You couldn't get out. You needed a hand. He said unto him, do you believe on the Son of God? He only knew him as Jesus. He didn't know that he was the Son of God. So Jesus is asking him this question. Do you believe? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? Jesus said unto him, you have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. This is what God does. God wants to reveal himself to people. See, when you're lost and you're in need, you can't see beyond this muck. And you need Jesus to reveal himself to you. You need Jesus to show himself to you. And that's what he does. This is what salvation is all about. It's about you getting to know Jesus for who he is. He pulled back the veil. I am he. Notice what this man did. He said, notice he made a profession. He just didn't say, can you read my mind, Jesus? No, he said, I believe. And he worshiped him. How do we know that he believed? Because he worshiped him. The greatest act of giving thanks is to worship him. He got to worship him. So this blind man, he went from, he knew something about Jesus. He got to hear Jesus speak. He got to hear the word. Jesus' sermon was, I'm the light of the world. Point number two, I'm here to do the works of him who sent me. I can't work at night, so you better catch what I'm doing now. The man got a hold of it, you know? And all he knew was he knew the clay. He didn't know the spit. I can just imagine after he believed, you know, son, when I anointed your eyes, I spit on the clay. So this man didn't get healed by religion. He got healed by a relationship. He was in a rut all of his life until Jesus came in his life. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you're like that blind man. Maybe you've had an issue in your body. Maybe you've had an issue in your life. And you didn't really know the Lord, but now you can know him in a greater way. Will you allow God to anoint you today with fresh fire? Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you thanks and praise today for your word. I thank you for touching the people's hearts. The first call that Jesus would make to you is, are you born again? Do you know the Lord? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him as your healer? I'm not talking about know about him. I'm talking about knowing him. Amen? God wants to touch you today. He wants to anoint you today. Amen? He wants to lift you up today. He wants to improve your life today, just like he did for this blind man. You could look at several other places. So what is it that you need God to do in your life today? What is it that you need to change? God's calling you to some things. Will you respond? Will you listen? Will you follow? Will you obey? God doesn't want you to leave the same today. And even though he touched some of you during worship, he wants to touch those of you that need a touch from God. Will you come closer to God? Will you give up your ways and follow him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength? Come to Jesus today for whatever it is that you need. I believe there's some people with needs today. Amen? God's not done working yet. Oh, yes, he worked in our worship. He worked through the word, but he's not done working yet. Amen? There's a work that needs to be done in your life, in your hearts. Whatever it is, let's finish the work today. Amen? Those of you that the work is unfinished, come up right now. Whatever it is that you need, God wants to touch you, but you've got to come. You've got to come. Make yourself available to God. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed. The Holy Spirit's speaking to some people about making some changes in the way that they do things, in the way that you live. Come today and make these changes in your life. Make them right now in Jesus' name.